Okay, Psalm 1, if you'll read along with me verses 1 through 3, and we will continue on with the storm theme, and you'll see that a little bit later on. But Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man. Let me stop right there for a minute. You want to be blessed? Okay, I hope so. This is going to give you the formula, God's formula for being blessed. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the formula. Those three verses give you the formula for prosperity, for being blessed as a Christian. Point something out to you in verse 3. It says, he shall be like a what? Okay, so tonight's message is men as trees, or men like trees. And point something out to you here in that verse, in verse 3. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth, what's the word? But what's the word before fruit? Is that the tree, or is that the person? It's both. You could say it's both. It's referred to the tree, but the tree is likened to a person. All right. His fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So formula for being blessed in those verses here. And we'll talk a little bit about men as trees tonight. All right. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to really dig into your word. And Lord, the folks that are here tonight, I know they want to be fed, and I certainly can't do that. You got to do that. And we ask tonight that you would just take this bread of life that we've read and feed everyone here tonight. Just like you, the Lord Jesus Christ fed the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes. We ask you to do the feeding tonight so that everyone here be nourished. Lord, if there be anybody among us here tonight that is not sure about their salvation, Lord, help them get that thing just nailed down tonight. Help them not to have any doubts when they leave here. May you just really make them miserable and very uncomfortable with their current state not being saved. And just make the truth as plain as it could possibly be tonight. May I not get in the way. May I not interfere with anything. Just ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be in this message, to deliver this message this evening. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's break down the passage here, and then we'll run several references. If you take a look at verse 1, it says, blessed is the man. And then it's going to give you three things not to do. Now, I'm a teacher, and when I first started teaching 19 years ago, it was okay to have rules in the classroom that said something like, do not get out of your seat without permission. Do not talk without permission. That was okay. And it was negative rules. Do not. By the way, the Ten Commandments are negative. Thou shalt not, right? Okay, so here I am 19 years later, and you don't do that anymore. Educators are told today, don't put negative rules up for kids. You're going to make them feel bad. I'm glad that my mom and dad told me, Micah, don't do that when I was a kid. Because I saw it as keeping me from fun. You know what they're really doing? You know this too. They keep me from danger, keep me from harm, keep me from sin. And I might have seen it as fun, but they knew better than me. And the Word of God always knows better. And I'll tell you this, and if you don't like this, take this up with the Lord. The Word of God is a negative book. All right, so Norman Vincent Peale many years ago wrote the book called The Power of Positive Thinking. Just think positive all the time and everything will be okay. So when you're in the hospital and you're dying, just think positive. Everything will be okay. What a joke that is. Folks, there is something to be said about the power of negative thinking. Not talking about always being in a bad mood and always saying bad things and negative things and always giving people bad news. I'm not talking about that. But what I am saying is there is a time for bad news to be delivered because it's true. Those of you who've had health problems, you're glad the doctor said, I got bad news. Because if he hadn't told you he had bad news for you concerning your health, you could have died. And you wouldn't be here among us today. But I know we got folks among us here that had health problems. The doctor said, here's the bad news. Now, here is my plan to treat you. And the only way this is going to get better is if you undergo the treatment. Praise God for bad news. Because it's the truth. And the truth, even though it's negative, oftentimes leads you to the positive and something better. The first step to being saved is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Man, that sure is negative. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. When are you going to tell me something good? That's bad news. That is the truth. I always use this illustration. I've used it at school, and if I've used it here before, that you can hear it again. It'll be good for you. Let's say out that door is a 100-foot fall to your death. Brandon gets out of his seat, walks toward the back door, not knowing that if he walks out that door, he's falling 100 feet to his death. And I scream at him, Brandon, stop! Stop! Don't go out the door! Don't go out the door! And he looks around and says, what are you talking about, man? Man, you're going to fall. If you go out that door, you're going to die. Am I giving him bad news? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to save his life. Okay, can you imagine? If I know there's a 100-foot fall to his death outside that door, he's walking toward the door and I think, there goes Brandon. He's going to go out the door. He's going to fall to his death. Oh, there he goes. All right, now do you understand? I sure didn't show any love to him by saying nothing. I would have shown a lot of love by saying, stop, don't go, negative. So I tell you that because I know we got folks that in here, you have loved ones that are not saved and they don't like you to bring up anything about Jesus Christ, anything about eternal life, anything about the gospel, because you're going to talk about hell and death and the lake of fire. And that's the truth that people need to hear. As a little boy, I got saved out of fear. I would hear the book of Revelation preach, I was shaking my boots. That's what's supposed to happen. Because you think about, what if I'm here on the earth when all that stuff takes place? That's scary. And the Lord is trying to scare you out of undergoing His wrath. And the only way to escape the wrath of God is to trust Jesus Christ. So people come to church and they always think, all those church people are so negative. No, we love you. We're trying to tell you something that'll save your life. We're trying to tell you something that'll save you for all eternity. Forever. And if it sounds negative, we're trying to tell you the truth. So you see how that works. The truth oftentimes is negative, but it's necessary. Now, once somebody understands their need to be saved, the wages of sin is death. All have sinned. Now, okay, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus Christ didn't sin. So the wrath of God never abode on Him, or shouldn't have. But when He went to the cross, He took the wrath of God willingly on behalf of sinners. So that, like our verse this morning, all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to His own way. I like to do what I want to do. You want to do what you want to do. And that road leads us to hell. But the Lord hath laid on Him. On who? On the Lord Jesus Christ. The iniquity of us all. So you see how that works? He's the sinless substitute for sinners. What a deal. But you have to understand that you're a sinner and you deserve hell and that the wrath of God is upon you before you can understand the good news about what Jesus Christ did for you. Okay, so I caution you, this is way off the subject where I was going tonight. I caution you when you witness to people, don't be afraid to tell them the negative. Because you understand what a treacherous thing this is? Here I have a witnessing opportunity. I say, hey, just ask Jesus to save you. That's all you got to do. Just pray this prayer after me. Repeat after me. Just ask Jesus to save you. And somebody will go to hell praying that prayer by me leading them in that prayer. And I say that because you got to make sure you tell people, do you understand where you are before God as a sinner? Do you understand what sinners get because they're sinners? They get the wrath of God upon them. And there is no escape the wrath of God unless you've received the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot emphasize how we gotta make sure we do that. I know I'm always tempted when I witness to want to make it nice. There's always that temptation to just be nice. And you don't have to yell and scream like I just did. You don't have to do that, but you need to tell them the truth. Let's make sure we tell people the truth. So back to verse 1. Three things not to do. Look at the first one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Folks, be careful who's telling you, who's giving you advice. Be careful who you listen to. I know Dr. Phil sounds all good a lot of times. Dr. Phil is wrong a lot of the time. I couldn't tell you, I guess couldn't be specific. It's been a long time since I've heard the guy. But he has some nice things. He has some good things. And he's also got some things that will do you no good at all. You know his biggest problem? He's not going to tell you how to escape hell. He's not going to tell you how to be saved. I've never heard him say that. I've never heard anybody say that he said that. All right, so be careful who you listen to. Be careful, like the verse says, where you walk. Be careful where you walk. Be careful who you're walking around with. Do you choose your friends? Do you choose the influences in your life? You choose them. All right, now I understand we got children in here that they didn't get to choose mom and dad. But when you get a little older, you start to make choices about who you're going to allow to influence you. As an adult, I'm 43, I still make decisions. Who I'm going to allow to influence me. I work in a Christian place with a lot of Christian people. There's bad influences there. Christians? You got to be careful what Christians hang around. Oh, yeah. You got to be real careful. I'm not saying don't hang around Christians, but you understand. Be careful who you're listening to. We have some Christians that are misled when it comes to the Word of God. That you got to be careful about listening to them. Do you understand the one of the reasons why you come to church? Hopefully one of the reasons you come to church is so that you are equipped to realize when somebody's telling you the truth and when somebody's lying to you. You only get the truth from error, discerning the truth from error by knowing what God really said. Folks, you got to get into this book yourself. Listen to preaching is not enough. I'm glad you come 3 times a week. A lot of you come 3 times a week. Praise the Lord. It's not enough. You want to discern right from wrong, truth from error. Somebody telling you a lie versus whether you're telling you something that's right or not. You better know the Word of God. And you don't get that overnight. That's a lifelong study. I'm still learning. I'm still realizing, wow, that thing I was fooling with here a few years ago, never should have fooled with that. The Lord showed me that. All right? And that's called, we're going to talk about trees here in just a minute. That's called growth. Growth involves you throwing away some things, getting rid of some influences that are going to bring you down. All right? So anything that's in your life that's not going to edify you and get you in the Word of God and get you to glorify Jesus Christ, you better start to question whether you need to have that around anymore. And I know I'm tempted. I read a lot of leadership books. I listen to a lot of leadership type things, and a lot of it, it's great. So I'm in a position of leadership at my school, and it's great. I got to be real careful because there's some books and some people you listen to that have all kinds of great leadership nuggets, and then they start talking about religion out of nowhere, and they're dead wrong. You got to be careful about that. So a mature Christian, the growth process involves you saying, this right here is some good meat. This is some bones. You don't like to eat the bones, do you? You take the bones out and you throw them away. So understand, you only can do that by getting into the Word of God regularly, all right, and discerning. All right, next thing it says there, it says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Be careful where you stand. Be careful where you walk. Be careful where you stand. Isn't that something? You can meet somebody, you can meet a stranger, you'll be walking along, talking, and then you'll stop. And when you stop, what happens to the conversation? It's a little more serious, right? What comes after you stop and stand? What comes next? Hey, why don't you come over to my house and have a seat? Look at the next thing it says there. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And you got to be careful where you walk. You got to be careful where you stand, who you stand with. You got to be careful where you sit and who you sit with. Because these are all these things right there in verse 1, influences. Real caution about who you allow to influence you in verse 1 right there. So, the negatives come first. You understand, verse 1, God is warning us. He's warning all of us. Young or old, been saved a little while, you've been saved a long time. You're being warned about dangerous influences. Consider what's influencing you now, over the past week, and you might need to throw some of them out. Sherry told the testimony this morning, we're not news people. But for some reason, you know, you got a lot of time on your hands on the days we had off from work with this hurricane coming. So what do? I started looking online at the news. Biggest mistake I could have made. You know what it did? It made me scared. Everything was fine until I started watching the news. In fact, I called Pastor Thursday morning, I think it was, and I asked him what he was going to do and what his plans were. And after I got off the phone with him, I felt so good because he was saying the exact same thing I was thinking. All right? And I think there's something to be said about being around the right kind of influences. We couldn't have matched up any better. It was great. The pastor's a good influence, by the way. If you're not being influenced by our pastor, you need to start listening. The Lord showed me whenever we first started coming to church here, and He's shown it ever since. That's 6 years ago. The very first service we were ever here, the Lord said, "Okay, Rockwell, that is a very, very wise man. You listen to what he has to say. That man has been through things that you have not been through. That man can teach you some things because he's experienced things you have not. He can teach you some things about leadership. He can teach you some things about the ministry. He can teach you things about the Christian life. Listen to him." And he's not perfect. He was here, you know, he wouldn't want to hear all this, but he's not here, so that's okay. But he's a godly man. And there's something to be said about being in the same town, in the same building for as long as over 20 years now. Something to be said about that. And still have a thriving church like we do. So there's some warnings there about things to stay away from in verse 1. Now, verse 2. It is not enough to get things out of your life and stop them from influencing you. In fact, here's what a lot of people do. They empty all this stuff. They get the garbage out. That's good. All the garbage out of their life. All the bad influence out of their life. And then they sit. And they don't fill it with the right influences. And you know what they do? Come on back. Slowly, slowly. The Lord dealt with me with my music for a long time. Back in the cassette tape days. We got a few people that remember the cassette tape days. I even remember the 8-track and the record days. Yeah. So in the cassette tape days, you kids here won't realize, you don't believe this. But you had to do more than just push a button to get to your favorite song. You had to hold the thing down. And then listen, am I there yet? Then you had to push it again. Am I there yet? Am I there yet? No? Well, still not there yet. All right, so in the cassette tape days, I had all these cassettes, and the Lord was this is when I just got out of college. The Lord really dealing with me about my music, a bunch of other things at the same time. And finally I said, okay, gone. I'll unload all of them. Got rid of all of them. Praise the Lord. Got rid of all of them. Sitting in the car, what do I do now? Turn the radio on. Oh, I like that song. I like that one too. Let me turn over here. Oh, I remember. Oh man, I used to have that tape. Slowly came back. Before long, I got most of the same tapes I'd already thrown away. What a waste of money that was. I threw the stuff away and then bought it. What a waste. Finally, I mean, the Lord many of you know how the Lord just, it's almost like He's taking His hand and He's just putting His pressure on you like that. And He's saying, Rockwell, get rid of that junk that you're listening to. All right, so I finally did. And this time it was better. The Lord knew what He was doing. He put me in a place, after I got out of college, I was working at a place where I was surrounded by Christian books and preaching on cassette tape. And I started working at the Sword of the Lord. Many of you are familiar with the Sword of the Lord. I don't know what you think of the Sword of the Lord. The Sword of the Lord was a great place for me to work at that time. And I praise the Lord for the Sword of the Lord. And they put out a newspaper every couple weeks. So I was in that place and I got a hold of some of these preachers. And some of these guys, old time guys. They had this whole album of tapes. I miss the tape days. They had this whole album of tapes called Unforgettable Voices. They had Bob Jones Sr. on there. Now I got to think of the names on there. Jack Hiles is on there. Old Jack Hiles back with Fire and Brimstone. I mean, good stuff. I wish I could remember all the names on there. Who's the fella, Lester Roloff on there. Who's the fella that was related to some folks over at Lakin, B.R. Lakin. Ever hear him? Oh, man. Those old preachers did not care what anybody thought about their preaching. You can get them online now. You ought to dig some up. There's some old, I'm talking guys from the 40s, 50s, 60s, if you can go further back than that. I don't know if they got them on audio. But you talk about peel the bark off of a tree with their preaching. They make any of the modern day preachers look like a sissy. All right? And you look back at, we'll talk about John the Baptist here in a minute. You look back at John the Baptist when he preached. He didn't fool around when he preached either. He didn't care what anybody thought of him. He was going to give them the truth. And anyway, I was in the Sword of the Lord, and I was surrounded by all these tapes, so I started buying them. They were cheap. A lot cheaper than those stinking music tapes. Like about a fourth of the price. Like a couple of dollars versus like $8 or $10 of the stinking music I was listening to. So I got all these tapes. So now I'm in the car. I want to listen to something. Listen to some preaching. Now that's what worked for me. I'll tell you, there's something to be said about getting rid of the bad stuff, the evil influences, and bringing in the right kind of influences. You got to bring in the right kind of influences to replace it, or you're going to go right back to it. I guarantee you'll go right back to all that foolishness you were in before. Same goes with reading material. Same goes with what you watch on TV. You name it. Same things that goes with which internet sites you visit. If you say, okay, I'm not going to go here anymore, I'm not going to listen to this anymore, I'm not going to read this anymore, make sure you fill the void with spiritual things, with Christian things, with biblical things. All right? You can't go wrong there. So verse 2, here's what you fill it with. Verse 1, three things not to do. Verse 2, here's what you do. Fill it with. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord, folks? You got the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. What do you delight in? You don't have to answer. You delight in some things right now in the life you're living. You delight in some things. When I think of the word delight, I think of apple delight. Isn't that a dessert? Some sort of dessert? Something like that? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Why do they call it delight? Because it's a delight is something that is enjoyable, right? Something that you really enjoy getting involved with. All right, you know what you ought to enjoy getting involved with and delight in more than anything else? The verse says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Okay, so it's not enough. Well, I got to stop here for a minute. Oh, this is good. It's not enough to say, I believe the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Oh, yes, the Word of God is just a book. Oh, I love it. It's not enough. You have plenty of people that wave their Bibles around and say that. Look what the next part of the verse says. His delight is in the law of the Lord. What do you do with the Bible? Look what it says. There you go, brother. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Isn't it something the modern day New Age movement is all excited about? Meditation. You don't believe me? You don't have to. You can research it if you want, but you take my word on this one. Meditation has crept into the field I work in, athletics. And meditation has crept in like this. They say, okay, you wanna be a top level performer. You got to get your mind right before you can actually perform right. Did you catch that? You want to be a top level performer athletically. This is a big deal in the field I work in right now. You better get your mind right, because if you get your mind right, it'll affect your performance. And there's guys traveling the country making all kinds of money right now talking about the mental aspect of sports, and it all revolves around getting your mind right. And to get your mind right, you know what they recommend? Meditation. Meditate on what? Okay, maybe you've heard this one before. This is a crazy, crazy one. Just get one word. You pick one word, and you say that word over and over and over again. And let that word run through your mind. And think about what that word is. And while you're thinking about what that word is, you know, you do this crazy breathing exercise as well. And you do the say the word over and over. Maybe it's a phrase over and over and over. And you're just breathing, and eventually it'll change the way you think. I don't know how this works, folks. It sounds crazy to me, but there's guys that make all kinds of money promoting all this stuff today in the field of athletics. So isn't that something? They say, get your mind right, and it'll affect the way that you play, perform, right? Where'd they get that from? You get your mind right, and you will live the life that is pleasing to God. And the way to get your mind right is by meditating on the Word of God. Now, this is just me. When I meditate on the Word of God, I don't repeat it over and over and over and over and over. I don't do that. But all I will do is I'll just take it like in little small bites, and I'll read it slow, and I'll stop and think about it. And then I'll read a little bit more. I'll stop and think about it. I usually have a notebook handy alongside. And the things that the Lord will give you when you just stop and think about it. And then some things will come to your mind. You'll say, you know what? I see that word. It says, he shall be like a tree. I think I saw that over in Mark chapter 8. We'll look at that in a minute. It talks about men being like trees. And the Lord will, if you read the Bible regularly, the Lord will put all this stuff together for you through meditating. Meditating, folks, is just simply reading the Bible and stopping and think about what you read. And make sure you include the Lord in this too. Say, Lord, you teach me as I do this. You guide me in this meditation. All right. There's all kinds of unclean spirits out there that like to get involved in your meditation. You make sure the Holy Spirit is leading you in your meditation. All right. And I just like taking it in small little chunks. And that's how I meditate. I'll just take a few verses there, and I'll read them slow, and I'll think about them, then maybe go back and read them again. And you know what's really neat is I'll read them a second or third time, and the Lord will say, oh, you missed this the first time. Okay, write that down. Oh, you missed this the second time. Write that down. And before you know it, you see all these things that the Lord has squeezed out for you to drink of, right from His Word. That's how that works, folks. Three things you ought to be involved in when it comes to the Bible. Read the Bible every day. I like to read the Bible at a fast pace. That's just me. When I'm just doing my reading. That's just me. You can go slow, you can go fast, it doesn't matter. I've read through it a number of times now, so every time I've read through it, I think I pick up the pace a little bit more. That's how I like to do it. You don't have to do it like that. But read it regularly. Go Genesis, Revelation, and start over. If it takes a year, if it takes 6 months, if it takes 3 months, it takes 2 years. Go to Genesis, Revelation, and start over. Go Genesis, Revelation, start over. You ought to try that if you've never done that. All right? I think that the Lord put the books in the Bible in order for a reason. Okay? Read is number one. Number two is study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here's where you take out a concordance. And obviously, if you've got a computer program now, it makes it even faster. You can type in a word. You can see all the places in the Scriptures where that word is used. And you can start comparing Scripture with Scripture. And God will teach you by doing that. That's one way to study. Many different ways you can do that. But that's one way. All right? So read, study. Third one is meditate. Okay, see, these are all a little bit different. Studying involves you going all through the Bible, maybe different places. Or maybe you're just really trying to dissect a single chapter. But then whenever you meditate on it, you're taking it small bites, slow, and thinking hard on what you're reading, asking the Lord to show you some things. Three things you ought to do every day. Read, study, meditate. If you can't do all those every day, try to do at least one of them every day. One of the three. In the course of a week, try to do all three at least a couple of times. At least. Folks, that'll do you good as a Christian, your daily walk with the Lord as a Christian. Read, study, meditate. And then there's a fourth element there that you ought to make sure that you're involved, and that's prayer. Before you read the Bible, pray. Before you study, God, guide me, pray. Before you meditate, Lord, there's all kinds of nonsense out there to influence me. Now make my focus be on you. Pray before you do those things, okay? So the key right there in verse 2, delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on His Word. Now verse 3, and he shall be like a what? Tree. Let's look at a few things about this tree. Number one, a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Okay, a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. A tree that's planted by rivers of water has a good source of nourishment close by. I think this has a lot to do with going back to the influences. I think it also has a lot to do with where you go to church. And if you're going to plant yourself, you decide where to be planted. You're going to plant yourself in a place where you can grow because the Word of God is given out regularly. A few things here about trees here that goes along with that right there. Trees need carbon dioxide. That's just air. You know, we can't use that. We actually expel that. But trees use that. They need carbon dioxide. They need sunlight, and they need water. Okay, let's make a spiritual application here. You need air? I'm talking spiritually. Do you need air? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. Hold your hand up in front of your mouth when you're talking. What's coming out? Air. The Spirit of God and the Word of God, they go hand in hand. So there's air. Second thing, sunlight. You need sunlight as a Christian? Hello, Jesus said, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. That's the light source. What's the light source for all the plants out there? The S-U-N. Your light source as a Christian, you want to grow. It's got to be, there's only one, S-O-N, only one Son of God. Okay, and then the third thing is water. Ephesians 5, you can go over there and take a look at it. It talks about being washed by the water of the Word of God. So all those things go over this spiritual application. There's a great example, again, of God taking the physical and teaching you spiritual truth by looking at the physical. Does a tree need all those three things to survive? Yes. You know what you need to survive spiritually, folks? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Word of God. You need Jesus Christ. Those three things, you can't go wrong. You will grow and prosper. It's up to you to allow the sunlight in. All right? You can be in the dark or you can be in the light. All right, next thing it says there. It says, planted by the rivers of water. Are you close to a good source of nourishment? I hope so. Next thing it says there, that bringeth forth his what? Fruit in his season. Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? Galatians 5, you want to write this down right there. The fruit of the Spirit is. Did you catch that? The fruit of the Spirit. if the Spirit of God is working in you, you will bear fruit. What is that? Love. You know these. Joy. Peace. Oh, this is a hard one for me. Whew. Long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Okay. The natural result of the Spirit of God working in you is you bear the fruit of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit. All right. Now, everybody in here has had an apple before, right? Hello? Come on. You can at least shake your head. I'm good. You had an apple before? What did the apple do for you? It gave you nutrients. It nourished you. Okay, what produced the apple? The apple tree. You tell me this. What benefit did the apple tree get from the apple? None. What? Let me ask it again. I got a funny look up here. What benefit did the apple tree get from producing the apple? Got more seeds so it could produce more apples. That's it. What I'm saying is this. I benefit from the tree when I take the apple off, and I'm the one that's nourished. The tree is not. And what I'm getting at is this. God wants to produce the fruit of the Spirit in me and out of me, but not for me. For you. For anybody I come in contact with. A Christian ought to bear the fruit of the Spirit so that other people, Christians or not, can say, I'll take that right there. It's not for my benefit, is what I'm saying. And I tell you what, Laodicea, the day and age we live in, we got a lot of fat Christians. Take me, give me, give me, give me, give me, and they're not giving anything out. Okay, to be a fruit-bearing Christian, people ought to be able to be nourished as a result of what you're doing, as a result of you doing the feeding. Folks, feeding is not the job just of a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. It's not. Feeding other Christians and making sure that the lost understand they need to be saved is everybody's responsibility that's saved. Everybody. So don't duck it because you're not in the pulpit. That's everybody's responsibility. And God gives everybody in here. I know Frank has unique opportunities. I would never get with people. All right? Brother Joe here, where he has opportunity to work and live, he gets opportunities. I never talk to those people. I would never come in contact. Brandon, where he works, I've never been to the place where he works. He talks to people I would never reach. God uses Christians where he places you so that you can be a fruit bearer and other people benefit. Other people get saved. Other Christians are nourished. That's what you're there for. You bearing fruit? You're supposed to be. If you're not bearing fruit, guess whose fault that is? You're the one that's not getting nourished properly. All right? So it says, third thing there, planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in his season. Look at the next thing. His leaf also shall not wither. Okay, let's get a little science lesson in here. Two kinds of trees. Deciduous trees and, help me out, school students. What's the other kind of tree? Here we go, students. Evergreen trees. The teacher had to answer for you. Teacher down here. There are deciduous trees and evergreen trees. Yes, there are. Deciduous trees are the trees that we never see here in Florida. They're the ones that lose their leaves in the fall. And a great spiritual lesson. You got to make sure you don't miss this. They lose their leaves in the fall. And when they lose their leaves, they look like they're dead. Right? And they're dead all through the rest of the fall, all through the winter. And then springtime rolls around. You know what happens to that deciduous tree? New life comes about on that deciduous tree. Did you know deciduous trees illustrate the cycle of life? Death, new life. What happened when you got saved? Weren't you passed from death to life, right? Okay, you see that. God has put those things in creation for us to learn spiritual truth from. The thing looks like it's dead. Is it dead? Oh, no. Got life coming in the spring. And then the next year, the same thing. Now, you also have these trees called evergreen trees. If you're saved, you want to be like an evergreen tree. An evergreen tree is like the tree mentioned here. His leaf also shall not wither. The deciduous tree, what happens to his leaves? Dies, shrivels up, dies, you know, changes colors, falls off. The evergreen tree's leaves do not wither. You mean the evergreen tree's leaves are the same all year long? Yes. You mean the evergreen tree doesn't change? Yes. You see where I'm going with this? I don't know why in Christianity there's all this new stuff that says you got to do it different now. When 100 years ago it was working fine. And 80 years ago it was working fine. 60 years ago it was working fine. 40 years ago, 20 years ago. And then all of a sudden they say, we're going to change things, make them better. And you know what they've done? They made them worse. Folks, the mark of a Spirit-filled Christian that's like this tree right here, planted deeply, is that it's consistent. Christians need to be consistent. If there's anything that the world needs to see is a consistent Christian that's not a hypocrite. Amen? We got plenty of hypocrites in our churches today. The world needs to see consistent Christianity in action on a regular basis. Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. All right, the last thing there. His leaf also shall not wither. And then the last thing there it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Silly question to ask. Do you want to be prosperous? Yes. Folks, the formula for being blessed, the formula for prosperity is given in those three verses right there. You want to be blessed and prosperous, given right there. You don't have to have Joel Osteen to tell you how to be prosperous. In fact, you've got to watch out for him. He's one of those guys to be careful about. You need the Word of God to tell you how to prosper. You know what you need to prosper? You need to do what he says there in verse 2. Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it. And then the natural outpouring of that will be the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you so you can nourish others. I mean, it's all as plain as day right there, folks. Now, let's look at some things on trees here. We just got a few minutes left here. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 3. And I mentioned John the Baptist earlier. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke very highly of John the Baptist. You can look at Matthew chapter 11, take a look at that. He said of those that are born among men, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. That's the Lord talking about John. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at John the Baptist whenever he's preaching. See what kind of preaching that John was giving out whenever he was alive. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. Notice where he's preaching. Where's he preaching? In the wilderness. Oh, we'll stop right here. That's our world today. We live in a wilderness, spiritual wilderness. You know what people need in the spiritual wilderness that we live in today? They need preaching. They need the Word of God to be preached to them. All right? Okay, and look what he says here. It says, preaching in the wilderness of Judea in verse 2, and saying, repent! Ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. First word out of John's mouth when he's preaching is what? What is it? It's repent. That's unpopular today. Very unpopular. Repent means you might have to actually let God take some things out of your life and put some better things into your life. It may mean you getting down and confessing some sin and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. This is wrong. I've sinned against you. Lord, help me to not ever do this again. Only with your help am I going to go back to this. That's repentance. All right, look down there at verse 4. This character, John the Baptist. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Strange character, this guy, but an incredible man. And if you look down there at verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, oh, you wonderful Pharisees and Sadducees. That's not what he said. What did he say? I mean, look at this, folks. Oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You think that was popular? You think it was necessary? Not popular, 100% necessary. Look at verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. So it wasn't enough for people to say, I repent, John, I repent. He said, prove it. Bring your cigarettes down here and lay them down if you're serious about it. I mean, he wanted to see some action. Because real repentance, folks, real repentance is going to change some things and make your actions different. Real repentance. All right, verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Now look at verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What's he talking about? Well, if you know Psalm 1, John the Baptist making comparison between men, between people, and trees. All right, go to another place here. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus Christ did the same thing here. Matthew chapter 7. Look down there at verse 13. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Aren't we seeing that verse in action today? The broad way is the popular way, and it's the way to hell. All right, verse 14. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Hey, let me just stop here and say this. You can find it right here tonight. I'll show you the narrow way. You know what the narrow way is? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. He's the only way to have eternal life. All right, verse 15. Jesus Christ says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by what? By their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I answer that as no. Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Men as trees, people as trees. Look at verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Folks, somebody who's that's a picture right there, verse 19, of a person without Jesus Christ, an unsaved person. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and where do they end up, folks? The fires of hell. I know that's not popular. That's the truth. Folks, if you walk out of this door tonight, back that back door tonight, you will not fall 100 feet to your death. It's worse. You can walk out of that door right now, tonight, at some time here this evening when we finish in another hour or so, and you can go out there and get in a car accident and die, and if you're not saved, end up in hell. And I don't say that because I like saying that. I say that because I need to say that. That's the truth that everybody here needs to hear. And if you're saved, you need to hear that anyway to motivate you to deliver people from the fire. Folks, I nobody here tonight, don't walk out that door right now, tonight, because don't walk out of that door if you don't know Jesus Christ. You're not 100% sure you're saved. Don't walk out that door if you were to die, you can't say with 100% certainty, I know I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Brandon brought up the verse in 1 John 5:13. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may, what's the word? Know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The only way you're going to walk out of that door with full assurance that you're going to heaven is by believing only in Jesus Christ, understanding that He paid the price for you. It's simple, folks. It's simple. Don't complicate it. Is there a time where you called upon the name of Jesus Christ to save you? If you can't remember a time, there's a good chance you're not saved because there wasn't a time. If you can remember a time where you did that, you can walk out that door with confidence. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. I know that I have eternal life because God promised me that if I called upon His name for salvation, that He would save me. Okay, let's get that straight tonight. If that's you and you're not sure, let's get that straight tonight before you leave. Okay, back to this. Go to Mark chapter 8. Just a couple more verses here, folks. I know you everybody's a little warm and apologize for that. A couple more verses here and we'll wrap up. Mark chapter 8. There's this man that is blind, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes along and heals him. Hey, you know the only person that has power over sickness, power over death, power over anything that could ever come your way that could bring you trouble. You know the only person that's got power over those things? It's Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to be the source you go to first, not the one you go to when everything else doesn't work. And a lot of Christians do that today, don't they? They run here and there and there. Oh yeah, that didn't work, so I'll call on the Lord. Make Him the first one you call on. All right, Mark chapter 8, look at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. Now, isn't that strange what the Lord did right there? Did you see what the Lord did right there? He spit on the man's eyes. I don't want anybody spitting in my eyes. I would let somebody spit in my eyes if I was blind and I wanted to see, though. You see, the Lord's ways are often unorthodox and unusual, and they work. So when the next time somebody says, you actually believe that Bible, you believe what it says? Yes, I do. I sure do, and it works. The Lord does something very strange right here, and it works. I can't help but think there. It says he spit on his eyes, and then it says he put his hands upon him. There you have the hands of God Himself and his own spit on this man's eye. Strange sight, isn't it? Very strange sight. Look at the next verse. Verse 24. And he looked up. That's the first time that man ever looked up. You think about it. He never was able to look up. What does it mean to look up? What does it mean to look down? He didn't know. But he looked up. When somebody gets saved, you know where they start looking? In order to get saved, you know where you got to start looking? Up. Isn't that something right there? Now see, there's a place where you can just meditate on that. And he looked up. It says right there in verse 24, and he looked up. There's something to think about for a long time there. Where are you looking? You looking down? If you're looking around, you're going to get real discouraged. You're going to see all kinds of nonsense around you. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. He's returning in the clouds. Look up. You looking for him? I guarantee you, next time you're in a big group of people, try this. Go like this. Start walking around going. And sooner, it won't take you long. Somebody will say, what are you looking at? Looking for Jesus. Really? Nobody will ask you a question if you do this. Nobody's going to bother asking you anything. You looking up, though, somebody's going to say, what's wrong with that guy? Hey, we ought to be looking up. I know that's kind of silly, but you understand what I'm saying. We ought to be looking up. We ought to be looking to the Lord for everything. Verse 24, and he looked up and said, look what this man says. I see men as trees walking. He got a glimpse into the spiritual realm there, I really believe. And then the Lord does something in verse 25. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And there, we could talk a lot about why he says men as trees, but I just want to point out the fact that the man says, he compares men to trees. A few things here in closing here about trees. You got a family tree? Hello, do you have a family tree? You can shake your head yes. Okay. We had a picture on my wall when I was growing up, and it was the Rockwell family tree, and that thing used to just baffle me. I see my name up there, see my grandma and grandpa's name and my dad's name, and I remember asking my dad, and he had explained the whole thing to me. Your family tree is your genealogy. All right? Isn't that something? They call it a family what? A family tree? Here's another one. Do you have limbs? Arms and legs? So do trees. You got a trunk? A midsection of the body? So do trees. You got roots? Usually referred to your roots is where you're from. And where does a tree originate? In the ground where its roots are, correct? All right, a tree has roots. I already mentioned about the carbon dioxide and the water and the sunlight. Trees are planted in the ground. Did God plant us here on this earth for a purpose? Yeah. Trees grow as a result of proper nourishment. I mentioned that. Without nourishment, they die. The same is true with us. You can say that physically and spiritually. Here's something very interesting. Have you ever watched a tree grow? I mean, frame by frame, second by second, minute by minute. I never have. And you haven't either. You've seen somebody take a video over several days and weeks. That's what you've seen. You never see a tree actually grow. You know, spiritual growth is exactly the same. You don't actually see it in action. But over the long haul, you see it. So I say that because I know whenever I first really started getting serious about my Bible reading and Bible study, I didn't see any difference. But over the long haul, I started to think, man, I'm sure thinking right now. I'm thinking better than I used to. Give me some more of that. And that growth is a long process. Takes time. All right. Trees bear fruit. I mentioned that. Some men bear fruit. You know, some Christians do bear fruit. Some Christians don't bear fruit. Just like some trees. And then here's a good one to end on with this comparison. Some trees are straight. Some are crooked. Some people are straight. Some are crooked. Yeah? You probably know some crooked people. I hope we got a lot of straight people among us. Let me end here tonight. Go to Psalm 92. So during the hurricane, I'm sure probably where most of you live, somewhere around you, within, you could probably see, or maybe just down the street, you got palm trees. Those are special trees, folks. Did anybody see a palm tree down after the hurricane? You did? Some strong wind then. I didn't see a single one where I live. You saw some, Frank? Okay. I'm not saying you can't bring them down. I'll tell you this. They're really hard to bring down. And my guess would be they might have already been dying before the wind blew them down. Yeah, is that the case? All right. Yeah. A healthy palm tree, wind's not blowing that down. You may have to have a 250-mile-an-hour wind to blow that thing down. You're not going to see that with a hurricane. Psalm 92, look at this. The Lord knows that. Obviously, He made those for a reason. Psalm 92, 12. The righteous shall flourish like what? The palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. A couple things about palm trees here in closing. Palm trees grow tall and they live long. Here's a really cool thing about palm trees. Do you know why? Do you know why they're so hard to blow over whenever there's a hurricane? You know why? They got roots that go way down into the ground and spread way out. Now, all trees aren't like that. I think it's pecan trees. Their roots don't go out very deep, and they don't spread out like a palm tree does. Easy to come up during a high wind. A palm tree has deep roots, and in the time of a storm, not moving. You write this down. We won't go over there, but 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. A palm tree, folks, is unmovable. Go one more place here. This will be a fun one here to end up on. Go to Ephesians 4. A palm tree is unmovable. Folks, you know what you're supposed to be like as a Christian? Planted deep so that nobody can move you off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the one that can anchor you. In fact, over in Hebrews, He's called an anchor for the soul. Go to Ephesians 4 here. This will be a fun one to end up on. So that wind this morning. Remember what the wind, we talked about the wind was compared to? Do you remember? God uses the wind to teach you about God's Holy Spirit. All right, guess what? There's the Holy Spirit of God, and there's a bunch of other unclean spirits out there. Did you know that? So wouldn't it be just like the Lord to show us something about the wrong kind of spirits and use the wind to do that as well? And He does that right here. Look at Ephesians 4. This is fascinating here. This is God's desire for every Christian. 14, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Grow up, folks. Be no more children. Tossed to and fro. So, characteristic of a child, somebody who hasn't grown up in the Lord, what are they going to be doing? They're going over here. They're going over where? They can't nail anything down spiritually. They hop to this church. They hop to that church. They use this Bible. They use that Bible. They can't figure out who's right and who's wrong. Tossed about. Okay, then it says, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Folks, if you're like a palm tree, you know what the winds that are not the Holy Spirit, you know what they do whenever they blow? They blow right through you. And they might bend you, can't break you. Can't ever break you. That's a palm tree. Next verse, look what it says here. Speaking of trees and plants and that kind of thing. Look what it says in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may do what? Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I'll just ask you this in closing, folks. What kind of tree are you like? I only talked about a few different kinds tonight. Your desire and goal as a Christian ought to be, you'll be like that palm tree. I had to take a picture this morning. I went running this morning and I took pictures of the palm trees down the street from where we live. And those things looked no different today than they did Thursday morning. Look exactly the same. Now, if I had taken a before and after, maybe you said, well, they lost the palm frond here and there. Okay, I'll grow back. I'll get it back. Next couple weeks, it'll be right back where it was. Folks, your desire as a Christian ought to be get deeply rooted in the Word of God so that you can't be uprooted. And so you can't be tossed about and blown around. In fact, we didn't read all Psalm 1. It says, the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Goes over here, goes over there, and there's no foundation. And there's no root, and there's no anchor, and it's blown this way and that way. Folks, be like the palm tree. That'll be your desire tonight. That'll be your desire this week. To be like the palm tree, the world is looking for consistency in Christians. Let's be a church that remains as consistent Christians in this world we live in. All right, let's bow our heads here tonight, and we'll sing our hymn of invitation here. Thank you for bearing with me here this evening. And let's pray to ask the Lord to help us here in this time. Lord, we sure thank you for showing us all kinds of truth tonight. You know, we could have gone so much deeper. I just thank you for just the folks here this evening that were willing to take a look at what you say and to compare Scripture with Scripture and to learn. And Lord, may that be an activity we partake in all this week, every day at some point. And I just pray that you just build up a bunch of palm trees among the folks here in our church. Stand firm in the day we live in, being consistent. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.